coming up right this second. A reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. I happen to consider him a very good friend. Personally, end of the program, he is Jim Trotter. And Jim, before we talk about football and all the issues, how are you doing right now, Jim? And what have the last 2 weeks been like for you?
Romy, I appreciate you asking, man. I have good days and bad. I've woke up this morning, was not one of the greatest days for whatever reason. I think just emotionally spent, exhausted from everything that's going on. But, you know, trying to push through it like everyone else because this is too important. But I appreciate you asking, man. It means a lot.
No, I appreciate you too, Jim. And I think you speak for a lot of people. Sometimes just wake up and we're just not right. And the reason we're not right is because everything around us is not right. You and I have talked about Drew Brees, Jim, so many times over the years. And you know him going back to his time when he was drafted by and playing for the Chargers. So that said, what was your initial reaction to his comments on players who kneel as a peaceful protest against racist police brutality?
Yeah, it was hurtful. It was painful. And I'm not going to say I was completely surprised because I know how much, you know, Drew loves the military and the flag. And he, in the past, he's spoken so much about his grandfathers. But it was really disappointing because, again, it conflated the issue and it co-opted what Colin Kaepernick was really protesting for. So my immediate thought was that, you know, he opened his mouth before he opened his mind and opened his heart, and that his words were symbols of white privilege and entitlement. And, you know, but I also said, you know, for me, this is where the story gets tricky, because once he apologized, we've gotten to a point in this country where you're either in the fight for social justice or you're not, and there's no middle ground. And I question whether or not Drew would be allowed to come out of the or camp back into the either camp and now say he has seen the wrongdoings in terms of what he said, and he wants to be an ally and he wants to help in this fight. And, you know, over the last, 18 hours or so, I've spoken to a handful of his former teammates and voices that I respect and ask, can he get a pass on this? Can he come back from this? And some have said it's going to be really difficult and they're not sure they can give him that pass. And others have said it's all going to be about the work now, the action. Because, you know, my point was he said in his initial apology that he now stands with the black community. He's going to fight against police brutality and systemic discrimination against, you know, people of color. And my point is, look, you'll stand with him in that fight, but will you kneel with him if they kneel? And more importantly, you know, will you now say that you respect those who kneel? Because it has nothing to do with the flag or the military or patriotism. It is about the killing of unarmed black men and women. And, you know, the sad part ultimately is that it appeared by his initial comments that he placed more value on a symbol than he did on a black life. And that's what he, you know, has to deal with at this point.
We are speaking with Jim Trotter. Wow, Jim. There's a lot for me to react to in that answer because there's so much in the answer. But in terms of him potentially kneeling, in your mind, how significant would it be if he did kneel with teammates? Or in your mind, is that the least that he can do?
Well, I'll say this, Jim. I think I'm not focused so much on the kneeling as the work. And the respect of those who do kneel. I'm not asking Drew Brees to somehow go against or to do something that is not in his heart, so to speak, in terms of if he feels the flag represents a certain thing to him, that's all fine. This isn't about the flag. But my bigger question is, do you respect those who do kneel and what they're kneeling for? That's more important to me than if he takes a knee or whatever. And the other thing is the work. And the one thing I feel that I know about Drew, I'm not going to say, you know, again, I've covered him since he came into the league in 2001 when he was a second round pick and I was a beat writer of the Chargers in San Diego. I feel I know him a little bit, not personally, where we hang out or anything, but I have spent, had occasion to spend time with him and his wife. And I believe Drew Brees to be a man of character, and I believe him to be a man of his word. And so when he looked in the camera last night and said, I am going to be an ally, I am going to do the work, I believe him. And so now I want to see what that work looks like.
We're talking to Jim Trotter. You know, Jim, I got a question, and I know you can answer this because you've spent a lot of time in and around NFL locker rooms, but the NFL locker room is supposed to be the ultimate melting pot, the ultimate brotherhood. This is where you have family, so to speak. These conversations, are they not happening in the locker room, or are they happening and some players just don't want to participate or learn? Exactly, as it relates to this, what is going on in the locker room?
Well, previously, I think it was both of those things. In conversations I've had with black players and white players previously, look, talking about race is a very uncomfortable conversation. And so there are times when there are some who feel it's just better not to have the conversation. And from a white player's angle, for fear of saying the wrong thing and being construed in maybe a light that you didn't mean it. And so there is a lot of give and take that has to happen in that conversation if you're going to have it. The one thing I will say to you now is that this feels different than anything I've ever been involved with in my 2+ decades covering this league. You know, I have talked to several teams now who last Monday had Zoom calls with their players, their coaches, their team executives. And the words that kept coming out of there from the people that I talked to, and I'm not going to betray any confidence here, is that those conversations were raw. They were powerful. They were emotional. There were guys who were crying during these meetings. And it's not just black players, it's white players. So to me, that's a significant change than anything I've ever been a part of with this league. And I think that's a reason for hope. And it's a sign potentially of progress. So I'm happy that we're having these discussions. I hate that it's come at the expense of another man, you know, being murdered by police, unarmed black man being murdered by police. But I'm happy that we're having these conversations and that hopefully they lead to positive change.
Jim Trotter is joining us. He is a storyteller, a reporter for NFL Media. You know, Jim, also, Martellus Bennett was tweeting that he was surprised or was not surprised by what Breeze said because white quarterbacks were silent when Colin Kaepernick took a knee. You reached out to Derek Carr to speak about that. What did he say, and what did you make of that?
Well, what he said to me is that the way he has been raised as an athlete is that when there is a controversy and it's polarizing, you have people on both sides and no middle ground, you keep your head down and you move forward and you do the work. And he said that's what he has always done, and that basically the last couple of years have weighed heavy on his heart, and he decided, you know what, we have a platform, and our platform is powerful, and I want to use it for change, for positive change. And he said, I don't care about the politics of it now. I don't care how someone views it. He wants basically to have a better world for his children than what we have right now. And so he posted. And the thing that's so fascinating to me, because we've had this discussion, we wrote about it earlier in the week, is there significance? And now all of a sudden, all of these white quarterbacks speaking out. And again, as you said, back in 2016, none of them spoke up that year in support of these demonstrations. They may have supported it behind the scenes, but publicly they did not say anything. And before, you know, this past weekend, we had Carson Wentz speak out. We had Derek Carr speak out. We had Joe Burrow speak out. We had Ryan Tannehill speak out. And then even on the collegiate level, we had Trevor Lawrence, who is likely to be the number one pick in next year's draft, speak out. To me, those things are significant, not because black players can't make progress on their own, but these players have access to rooms that in the past we have not had access to, and they can help crack that door so that hopefully we can make progress even quicker on these issues. So it was significant to me to see these folks now speaking out, and I also reached out to Chris Long, you know, to talk about it because he and people like Josh McCown, white players back in 2016, were on an island. You know, they were among the few white players who actually stood up and spoke out on this issue. And he said, you know, he doesn't care how we got to this point in terms of white players joining this conversation. He's just happy that they are now part of the conversation because, again, it can help move this thing forward and we make progress.
Jim, I agree with that. It's really encouraging, and there is progress, and I know it's not so much a case of how we got there as much as it is we're getting there, but I am kind of curious. Why were white players, and specifically quarterbacks, silent 4 years ago, and what has changed?
I think, number one, they were silent 4 years ago. because it's an uncomfortable conversation. And I think there are some who live in a bubble and who have never had to deal with this. I remember reading on social media yesterday, someone posted that they had played Drew Brees' team in a state playoff game in high school. And they said that where Drew is from, they roll in with bumper stickers to say, "We are white, we are wealthy, we are Westlake." Mm. And so when you grow up in that kind of environment, it's very difficult to be empathetic with people who grow up in a completely different environment or community and deal with things that you've never had to deal about. You know, you don't have those conversations in your home. Parents don't with their kids about how to react if the police pull up behind you. Whereas, you know, when I grew up, we had that conversation. So it's things like that where I think people either because it was uncomfortable, because they feel it wasn't their fight, because they felt that they might say the wrong thing, all these different things, they didn't say it. And I think what Colin Kaepernick did in taking a knee is he created a pathway for people to see that you want to be on the right side of history, that this thing is bigger than black and white. This is about human rights, not just black rights, like some people try and paint it. It's about human rights. And I always say this, you know, to people who say, or in this specific case, you know, who act as if somehow kneeling or protesting is un-American or this, that, and the other. The question I would ask Drew, honestly, if he were sitting in front of me, is that if it were your grandfather under the knee of that Minneapolis police officer and your grandfather was crying out, saying, "I can't breathe," you know, begging for his life, calling for his mother, how would you feel if your grandfather died under those circumstances? I think you would feel a little differently maybe than you felt about George Floyd. I would hope so. So, I mean, these are conversations that we have to have, and I hope going forward that we can have them, that we can kind of check ourselves a little bit and understand there may be some things that are said wrong, but it doesn't mean the intent behind the question or the comment was wrong. And I'm just hoping that we get to a better place, Jim, truthfully.
My guest is Jim Trotter. So, Jim, finally, Michael Thomas, Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, other stars released a video last night calling on the league to take certain steps. The players called on the league to condemn racism and the systemic oppression of black people, admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting, and to believe black lives matter. How do you think, Jim, that the league is going to respond?
Truthfully, I saw that video last night for the first time, and the first thing that hit me was, wow, powerful. Not just from the comments, but the players who were actually in that video. So, I don't see the league in any way frowning upon it. I think if anything, that's the message that the league should be putting out, because let's be honest, the initial statement that was put out by the league, it just fell flat. I mean, number one, it was late. Number two, it never mentioned the word racism. It never mentioned the term police brutality. And then number three, you know, if you're going to do that, you have to look at your own house. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The NFL has as much work to do as anyone else when it comes to racial equality, because when you have a league with 32 teams and only four coaches of color, when you have a league with 32 teams and only two black general managers, when you have a league of 32 teams, and in the 101-year history of the league, you have never had a black majority owner or a black club president, when you have a league that has 11 or 12 executive vice presidents and there are only two people of color, you need to get your house in order before you start commenting on other people's houses.
He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. And again, a good friend of mine and a good friend of the program, he is Jim Trotter. Jim, I appreciate you so much and your perspective, and it's great to have you on the show. Jim, thanks. Have a great day, and I know you and I will talk soon.
Rami, I appreciate you, brother, as always.
You too, Jim. Very much. Jim Trotter.